You've seen pictures, I'm sure, of canaries in a coal mine. Why did they put them in a coal mine? Well, they're bright and yellow, and you can see them. And you can see them if they're standing up or if they're dead. They put them in a coal mine because when the toxins get so bad, the canary will die. And the people will know when it's time to call for the elevator. It's time to call for help. It's time to get out of the mine. Israel is God's canary. If you want to know, if you want to see something, and Romans 1 is very clear that if you see creation, we ought to know in our hearts that there is a creator. We can look at children, little babies, and trees, and all those things, but if that doesn't get it, you should look at Israel. They should not exist. They should be dead. In fact, they are dead. Right now, they are spiritually dead. Around this time of year, you start seeing pictures of skulls and crossbones. At the end of the month, we're going to see a lot more of them. But to be frank with you, if you look close enough, we already see a lot. The world is a dead man walking. It can be revived if it calls out to the one true God. Israel is a dead man walking. They will cry out to the one true God. Those are poor, quote, poor Palestinians who captured and destroyed several of Israelis' tanks. Top of the line, best in the world tanks besides maybe the Abrams of the United States. This is what it looks like this morning in southern Israel. It looks like a firestorm in California during wildfire season. It looks like the hurricanes that hit Florida. It looks like Ukraine. It looks like Syria, the devastation there. What do the Muslims want from Israel? What do they want to do with Israel? Here is a picture of it. Crying, God is great, God is greater. John Haller, a good prophecy teacher, said yesterday that honestly, the West really needs to go and look at some of these videos. Some of them I won't show, I can't show. They are horrible, what they've done to children, what they've done to women. They split women up and from their husbands and took the husbands one way and killed them. And you can imagine what they're doing with the women. It is horrible. And we think that we live in better times. What do the Muslims want? Not all of the Arabs. Remember, not all Arabs are Muslims. And not all Muslims are Arabs. But all Muslims are cultists. They fall under the lies of Satan. They are demeaning Israel and taking it to them this day. Why would God allow this to happen to any people? But in particular, this people who you can bet are God's canary in a coal mine. That if you are not watching Israel, if you're not watching what is happening in the Middle East, we're going about our business and burying our heads and knowing that Jesus Christ is at the door. We don't know when he will come. I had all my verses set up and ready to go. And then, of course, you sit in with Gary's class. And I just like to tie things in together. Gary read this morning in 2 Samuel 7. He said to David and his son Solomon, and he's speaking to about the son Jesus Christ, "And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more." You and I know that Israel is still alive and well in God's plan, because there's never been a time where Israel was not disturbed. The people, so many of our large denominations, the Catholic Church, much of the Lutheran Church, much of the Wesleyans now, the Reformed churches, all of the Reformed churches say God is done with Israel. You have a problem. They're still disturbed. Ezekiel 38 says they will live quietly without walls and borders. Their hands will be down by their side like they don't have a weapon in them. That's what that means. He promises that they will be disturbed no more. You can call God a liar, or we have to rethink this idea about Israel. "And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly. From the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers," he's talking to David, "I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body. I will establish his kingdom." Is Christ's kingdom established on the planet? Is David's kingdom? "He shall build a house for my name. I will establish the throne of his kingdom for just a little while." Forever. Is God a liar? "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." Now he's talking about Solomon. When he commits iniquity, when Israel commits iniquity, "I will discipline him with a rod." And who is like your people, Israel? The one nation on earth whom God went to redeem his people, making himself a name and doing for them great and awesome things by driving out before your people whom you did redeemed for yourself your enemies. "And you established for yourself your people," David says, "Israel, to be your people forever." The canary in the coal mine. They are dead men walking right now. And now Afghanistan has stepped up and said, "Send us to Israel." Almost as soon as they sent that banner out, you know what happened? 2 major earthquakes happened and 2,000 Afghanis died. I was watching what was happening. I was up for whatever reason on Friday night. I couldn't sleep and got up to 2 o'clock and I saw a blip and started watching, and something was happening in Israel. And you know me, I have a couple of hobbies, and one of them is watching the planet, because God's going to do something with it. And I just happened to turn over to the earthquake map, and there was a big red standing there in front of me. Hosea 1:9, and the Lord said, "Name him Lo Anami, for you are not my people, and I am not your God." That's present tense. "But watch, yet the number of Israelites will be like the sand of the sea." You see, this is the problem we have. We take things out of context. We use only what we like to hear or even what we see. Israel is against God. They hate God. They're acting like they don't like Israel. You know, they don't like God. So God has dismissed them. And so we write off verse 10. And we can't write off verse 10. Look at what he says in 2:22. "And the earth," the same chapter, I mean the same book, "and the earth will respond to the grain, to the new wine and oil, and they will respond to Jezreel," the valley up there in the north, "and I will sow her as my own in the land. I will have compassion on no compassion. I will say to those called not my people, you are my people, and they will say, you are my God." Romans 9:25, Paul, who we follow and we read all the time, we're going through 1 Timothy with him. If we believe what he says in 1 Timothy, do we believe what he says in all of Romans, one of the best theological books in the New Testament? He says this, "As indeed," he says in Hosea, "those who were not my people, I will call my people, and her who was not beloved, I will call beloved." And most of the church and all of the world has written Israel off. And Biden, do not believe his lips this morning. Do not believe his lips this morning. He is toeing the line, because he knows he's going to get tossed out on his ear if he goes against Israel, because many in America still love her and want democracy. They want her for democracy, not so much for God. But we have this person, this little nation in the Middle East that is democratic, and we're going to tear down all the other governments in Syria and Libya and Iran and other places that don't have democracy. We're going to tear them down. How much has that done for us? It's caused more problems than it's solved. And so you can't spin this. You don't have to spin this. The idea is that they are out with God, and God will bring them back. The eternal covenant with Abraham, the eternal covenant with David, the eternal covenant with the son Israel is eternal. Genesis 12:1. "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your great name great, so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse." Pay attention to that going forward, folks. "And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Is that happening today? Are all the families of the earth blessed today? To some extent, yes, through the church. That's not happening right now. Matthew 23:37, Jesus' words himself, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those sent to her, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. The canary is dead. For I tell you that you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Think about what he just said. You will see me, and you will cry blessed, like they did in Egypt, like they did in Judges over and over and over at some point, when God disciplined them enough for them to cry out. Listen, God is a God of rebirth. He's a God of generation and regeneration. He births a whole bunch of things. Watch this, Revelation 12:2. "She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth." That's Israel giving birth to the Messiah. Romans 8:22. "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. what's coming on Romans, what's coming on the world, what's coming on all of the creation? Rebirth. Regeneration. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. What is God birthing there? Judgment. Israel 66:7, before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came upon her, she delivered a son. Who has heard of such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Can a country be born in a day, or a nation delivered in an instant? Yet, as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children, the birth of nation, 1948. Isaiah 37:3, this is what Hezekiah says. Today is a day of distress, and that's us today. Rebuke and disgrace. For children have come to the point of birth, but there's no strength to deliver them. There's no strength to deliver them because they are in the land in unbelief. And yet God has so many promises. What is he going to do? Now you've heard, and I've heard that it said, God is a gentleman. He doesn't force anybody to do what they don't want to do. You're a parent. You're a grandparent. Your son steals the cat from the next door neighbors. He goes over and steals the little kitten. Oh, go ahead, son. It's okay. That's who you are, and I love you. If you want to go to the next store and steal the puppy, go at it. Is that what a father does? No, we used to spank him. Take that cat over. I'll be watching. Go to the front door. Give it back. I'm sorry I stole your cat. Take him to the store. I'm sorry I stole this stuff. Because we're all thieves and we're all liars, and we need to be called to judgment. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus paid it all. So when he went to the cross, your judgment's taken care of. Did you know that your judgment is taken care of? There is no more fear. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. I am afraid of him. And then perfect love cast out fear. Oh, I love you, God. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I love you, God. And there's no more fear. You're not afraid anymore. I love Jesus because he saved my soul. I love Jesus because he regenerated my soul. And I am born again. Well, you look the same. Ah, the second portion's coming. The new body's coming. Ugh. My back. God's a gentleman. No, he's not. He's a just God. And he takes people to the woodshed. If you're truly saved and you sin, how do you feel? The Holy Spirit convicts you, because that's what the Lord said he would do. He came to convict us. Lord, if you were nice to me, you wouldn't do that. What fellowship does light have with darkness? Get off my back. No. Holy Spirit, judge me. Convict me. Change me. Motivate me. Move me. I'm not good at loving. Son, I'm going to discipline you because I love you. What son does not the father punish? Hebrews chapter 12. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the world said no. And right now, the wayward son of Israel is saying, no thanks. Okay, son. You're going to the woodshed. the wayward son. Exodus 4:22. Then tell Pharaoh that this is what the Lord says. Israel is my firstborn son. And I told you to let my son go. I love that. You can see him standing up there. I told you to let my son go, that he may worship me. But since you have refused to let him go, behold, I will kill your firstborn son. And do you think that God changed that? Romans 9:3, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my own flesh and blood, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoption of as sons. Theirs the divine glory and the covenants. Theirs the giving of the law, the temple worship and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them proceeds the human descent of Christ, who is God over all, forever worthy of praise. Amen. Now, sometimes you ever wish that you were an Israeli? Like, I'd love to live in Israel, and I'd love to have these promises, and I'd love to be a favored son. And then you see what's happening in Israel this morning, and you say, just wait a minute. Why? Because the judgment of God begins where? Where does it begin? In the house of God. And so that canary this morning is being whipped. And I heard somebody pray this morning. I won't name Jeannie. And she said, let's pray that some of them will turn to the Lord. We pray that they will turn to the Lord. Luke 15, Jesus said, a man had two sons. The younger son said to the father, give me my share of the estate. Let me go. What did the father do? Gave him his property, gave him his share, and said, go. Why? Why would the father do that? This ignorant son. God did not run after him. The father did not run after him. God doesn't have to run. He doesn't run. He makes you run. He makes us run. He makes Israel run. This young man ended up eating slop. Go your way, son. Have at it the way you want it. And he ended up eating with the pigs. And what happened? The son came back. And he asked for forgiveness, and the Lord did what? Threw the coat around him like Joseph. Now, what about that older son? Remember, there's two sons. Because there's two parts of Israel. There's Judah and Ephraim, and there's the saved part, if you will, and there's the ones that are not. And you could even kind of stick the church in here as a type for sure, right? That this church, the kids go out, and they return to the Lord, and he gets the coat. And what do you think that's going to do to the Jews? It's going to do the same thing it did to the oldest son. The oldest son started complaining. Hey, I've been with you this whole time. What about me? Where's my coat? And what did the father say to him? You've been with me, and you've had feasts, and you can have anything you want. You're free within me. What are you jealous for? He's going to make Israel eat slop. You go out and see these videos, be careful, but I'm telling you, you haven't seen anything yet. You read Zechariah, you read Lamentations, because that is a type. It's 70 AD. It is before that exile, and it is the tribulation. It is disastrous for the son. God's going to take them to the woodshed because he loves them. Next time you feel guilty, shout to the top of your lungs. Praise the Lord for this judgment by the Holy Spirit and the Father God. Praise you, Jesus, because this shows you love me. God is going to allow it. We keep using these words, God going to allow it. I'm telling you, Listen to me, God's going to make it happen. God is making it happen. Jesus brought a sword to the house. Do you remember? He brought the sword. Who opens the seals to the judgments? Jesus Christ. Now listen, let's understand this. You open the door to Satan, you don't have to make Satan walk through it. He's going to go through it. Assyria was the rod of God's anger. You don't have to make Assyria come down and whip Israel. They want to do it. But Israel, and you can read in chapter 10 of Ezekiel, it'll help you, where Israel has given up on God, and God said, okay, I'm going to move away a little bit. It's going to get bad. Okay, I'm going to move away to the threshold. I'm going to move away across the temple. I'm going to move away across Jerusalem. And then he leaves. He leaves Jerusalem. And what does that do? It opens the doors to the wolves and the hyenas and the Russian bear and the devil. The devil still wants to kill and destroy. But God has prepared these craftsmen, he calls them. Egypt, and they cried out. Assyria, and they cried out. Babylon, and then Greece, and then Rome. And they're going to cry out again. They're dispersed through the earth, and then they're brought back. And while they're dispersed through the planet, and by the way, there's about 7 to 9 million Jews. I can't remember the exact number. 7 to 8 million Jews in Israel right now. The exact same number is in the United States. Did you know that? Half of the Jews are in the United States. In Ezekiel 39, he says, I'm not going to leave a one behind. How do you think those Jews get home? I'm going to show you. God's going to prepare craftsmen like he always has. Watch what he does. Watch what he's done. And we will know. In Ezekiel 36, God promises Israel will amass plunder. They will get strong. They'll come into the land. The people, the enemies are going to try to plunder them, but they're going to grow very strong. In Isaiah chapter 11, he will raise a banner for the nations and gather the exiles of Israel. He will collect the scattered of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Zephaniah 3:10, from beyond the rivers of Cush, my worshipers, my scattered people, will bring me an offering. On that day, you will not be put to shame for any of the deeds by which you have transgressed against me. For then I will remove from you among those who rejoice in their pride, and you will never again be haughty on my mountain. However, what section of the scriptures are we in right now, of those verses? Gathering. Ezekiel 36. Now, we can go to Ezekiel 37. Gathering. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. What are bones? They're dead people. And he led me among them, and behold, there were many, very many, on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. They're very dead. They're 2,600 years dead. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, Lord, I don't know. Only you know. I told somebody yesterday that, you know, Joseph couldn't tell interpretation. God had to tell him. Daniel couldn't interpret. God had to tell him. We can't interpret. God has to tell us. And he has. He has. In Mark chapter 5, you remember Jesus raises that little girl? Talitha, wake up. A dead person, he is raised in the midst. Ephesians 2:1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you used to walk when you conformed to the ways of this world, and the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit who is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Colossians 2:13, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses. Which is easier, Jesus said. It's so easy for him to speak a word and somebody rises from the dead. Look at Genesis 1, a literal 6 days of creation. It was easy for him. The work is in the soul because he wants to get you to turn your heart to him. And he did. You're sitting here now. You read your Bibles. You love him. You obey him. You watch your tongue. You don't talk like trash anymore. You don't treat people like trash anymore. And if you do, you're convicted. If you're not convicted, you should get on your knees. The question is, can Israel live again? And he just doesn't want somebody dead man walking. He's not raising them to kill them again. He's raising them to save them again. And so Ezekiel 3:4, then he said to me, prophesy. In other words, speak my words, speak what I tell you over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter them, and you shall live. Now that's not his spiritual breath there, okay? That's a physical breath coming into them to live as a nation. We'll get to the spiritual thing in a second. And I will lay sinews upon you. You see, there's the breath to live and to cause the flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin. And then he says, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And see, when the Spirit comes, then they know, hey, he's the Lord. You see, God had to regenerate you so that you would have faith in him and know that he is the Lord. So we had the Abraham Accords under Trump. And then the Lord fired Trump. The most Christian cabinet ever on the planet, with Pompeo and all these Christian people, God fired. Why? Was he haughty? Yeah, a little bit of that. Was there some things wrong? Maybe, possibly. But I think the thing is, okay, Trump, you're done, at least for now. We'll see what happens. But you're done. Get this Abraham Accords thing going. Promise Israel a bunch of money. Promise the Arabs a bunch of money. Promise Iran and Palestinians anything. You won't get it from them. But you're going to get the Arabs moving with these accords. And they are. They're moving toward Israel. Befriending Israel. Only to betray them again. Because you can't count on deception. And so Ezekiel 7, so 37:7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. Remember the rattling. And the bones came together, bone is to his bone. And I looked, behold, there was sinew on them, and flesh, and came upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesying, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. And I want to remind you, they're coming from the four winds. They're not saved yet. He is birthing a nation. And he's bringing dead people to a land. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them. And they lived and stood on their feet. An exceedingly great army. Israel is number 3 or number 4 GDP in the world. It's one of the most sophisticated intelligence agencies and militaries in the world. Now, why were they deceived, by the way, just as a side note? How did they get deceived this last weekend? It's satanic. Or it's God. It's God saying they're asleep. And they didn't see the craftsmen coming. And so 11. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. See, that's where they're at. They are cut off. But God's not done. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you up from your graves, O my people. And then I will put my spirit within you, not just the breath, my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land, and you shall know, and here's the key, that I am the Lord, I have spoken, I will do it, declares the Lord. And that's their salvation yet to come. Finally, then say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the people of Israel from the nations among which they have gone, and will gather them from all around and bring them into their land, and I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel, and one king, Jesus, shall be over them all, and they shall no longer be two nations, and no longer divided into two kingdoms, northern Israel and southern Israel, Ephraim and Judah. They shall not defile themselves anymore. See where he's going? They shall not defile themselves anymore with their idols and their detestable things, or with any of their transgressions, but I will save them from the backslidings in which they have sinned, and I will cleanse them, and they shall be people, and I will be their God. How do you know, as a Christian, that God will and can do that? Because he did it to you. And if he doesn't keep his promise, the new covenant to you is null and void. Israel's a time clock. You want to know what time it is in prophecy? You watch Israel. The hour hand, the nation of Israel. Isaiah 66:8. Can a country be born in a day? Yes. The minute hand, Jerusalem. Luke 21:20. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then you know that its desolation has come near. Jerusalem is not surrounded by armies yet. It's coming. It's coming. The hour is at hand. The minute hand is coming. What's the second hand? The Temple Mount, Joel 3:2, I will gather all the nations and bring them down to the Valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on behalf of my people and my heritage, Israel. Where is the Valley of Jehoshaphat? The East Gate, right down the hill from the East Gate. It's a small valley. And all the nations are going to come in there, and he's going to wipe them out. God is not going to coddle them anymore. They must repent. Godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret. They're going to the woodshed. Just a couple more minutes, briefly. World War I. Israel is not in the land. They are living it up in Europe. They are living it up somewhat in the United States. They're making for themselves a home. They're making good money. They're good musicians. They're good bankers. They're doing really well. What's with the church? The church is in full swing in the 1800s. There's Huss and Zwingli, 1700s. Huss and Zwingli and Luther and Wesley and Whitfield and Blackburn and Edwards and Moody and Spurgeon. They're just going crazy. And the church is growing like crazy. Then 1914, just before World War I, Israel starts talking about a home. And Blackburn and Moody and some of the and parts of the United States pastors said, don't go to Ghana. They were thinking about going to Ghana, Africa. They said, don't go there. The Lord says that you're going to go home to Israel. And so they get the Balfour Declaration and all of that stuff. What happens in World War II, around the time of World War II? Billy Sunday and Criswell and Tozer and Torrey and Ravenhill and McGee, and the church is going crazy. What happens to Israel? Kristallnacht. The night of the knives. The slaying of 6 million plus Jews. And the Holocaust. Did you know that it took World War II to get Israel to go home? Because they were too comfortable in their homes, in a home far away. They were the prodigal son And God said, it's time to eat slop. And God the potter, Jeremiah 18 and 19, where God says, I'm going to form this nation. And he sends out the woodsmen. He sends out, the craftsmen. And they're moved. They are literally moved to Israel because they don't have another choice. They only had really one more. They had a few million or a couple million in Europe, but most of them went to America because of the land of the church, really. But at least half went home, started to go home, and they went home. They went home. It's gotten real bad. You know what Israel's going to do? They're going to go into Gaza, and they're going to rip it down. And right now, all the West is saying, good for you. Go punish those people. And what do you think God's saying? Step one. Because all of those people who are saying, go get them now, are going to see the desolation that Israel's going to bring. And they're going to say, stop. And they're going to get mad again. All the nations will come against Israel someday. If you don't believe me, read your scriptures and watch. Read your scriptures and watch. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Just know this, that the things that God brought you to, for you to repent, and yes, we need to repent, we need to change our minds. The things that God used in your past, you should thank him for. You should give him praise. So no matter how deep the mire, no matter how big the problems, no matter if the consequences still follow you, because they followed Israel for 3,000-4,000 years, if they follow you, let them remind you of God's glory and his praise and his grace. Because he's taken you to a new home, and he's going to do the same for Israel. You carry this message with you, because I'm telling you that the demise of Israel is going to get great for a while. They're going to get big. They may take more territory now. We're going to see what happens more tonight. We're going to see what happens. You watch them and you carry this message with you. And when people say, I don't believe there's a God, or I don't believe that Israel's going to make it, or I don't believe in prophecy, you just say, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to argue with you. I'd like to talk to you about it, whatever. But you know what? Just watch. Read your Bible and watch. We love you, Lord. We thank you for the conviction that we have gotten from the Holy Spirit. And we pray for that to continue to drive us back to you and in your arms. We pray for the judgment that you poured upon your son, that he died, literally died on the cross, but he literally rose again so that we would have newness of life. And we know there's an empty grave. He lives. So from here, Lord, help us to take this story, ours, how you saved us, how you're going to save your son, Israel, and what you're doing, and that this minute hand is ticking, and the second hand is moving. And so we wait for your redemption, Lord. It could be any time, but we wait for it in strength and courage, and we will walk rightly for you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.